Grass-fed, locally raised, 100% organic. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Monday edition. You can always be a part here, 844-967-2789. Hope you had a great weekend. Now it's time to get back to work, get back to the politics, get back to the phone calls, 844-96-PARTY. Donald Trump spoke over the course of the weekend. Apparently a donor confab. I was not invited. Trump told GOP donors that North Korea's Kim Jong-un had the ability to make his advisors cower and jokingly said he wants his staff to act like that. He also, said we should fake some F-22s, put the Chinese symbols on the side, and bomb the you-know-what out of Moscow. That was one of his proposals over the weekend. Trump, I referenced the Yahoo News. Trump was speaking at an RNC donor retreat in New Orleans, per Josh Dossie with the Washington Post. Trump said that Kim Jong-un's advisors cower and sit at attention when he talks, according to the recording. Yeah, I kind of like that sort of behavior myself. Looking at you, you're kind of slouching there, Evan. The former president joked that he wants his people to act like that too, doesn't everybody? Former President Trump spoke glowingly about North Korean dictator Kim Jong-un at an RNC retreat in New Orleans, Louisiana, according to a recording obtained by Washington Post reporter Josh Dossie. Dossie in a tweet said Trump told donors that Kim's advisors were sitting at attention when he talked and cowered when he spoke to them. Trump added that one general stood up so fast, per Dossie's tweet. I want my people to act like that, Trump joked, according to Dossie. The former president also referred to Kim as seriously tough and absolutely the leader of that country, per the tweet. During the speech to the top Republican donors, Politico's Alex Eisenstadt said Trump once again teased a 2024 presidential bid. Yes, he's running. And if you don't know why, it's because he thinks he needs a get-out-of-jail-free card, because he probably does. But beyond that, he called Adam Schiff, you know, the congressman, the impeachment manager, guy from California, called him a watermelon head. And I'm thinking this comes from Mr. Pumpkin Spice himself. He's got like the great pumpkin on his shoulders. I can't imagine why he would choose this fight with another. But, you know, I never noticed. Does Adam Schiff have like a Stewie from Family Guy? Sort of a, is his head shaped that way? Just a thin neck? What? I don't know what he's implying. Trump also pushed back on Vice President Mike Pence's implication that he's an apologist for Russian President Vladimir Putin. Was it implied? In the past 2 weeks, Trump has praised Putin, who ordered a deadly invasion of Ukraine, is smart, and initially described his strategy in Ukraine as wonderful and genius. According to Eisenstadt, Trump told donors, somebody called me a Putin apologist the other day. There's no one who's ever been tougher on Russia than me. Now, I wonder if the entire room laughed out loud, sort of rolled on the floor, if you know what I'm saying. Insider reached out to Trump's team for comment on Sunday morning, but did not immediately receive a response. So Trump was out there having some yucks with the donors. Yeah, let's go bomb the you-know-what out of Russia and blame it on the Chinese. And the fact that he would put that up, you know, this guy's what? A year removed from the presidency. I mean, he's not like a cranky old caller on right-wing talk radio. This guy was the president of the United States, the most powerful man in the free world not all that long ago. Jennifer Rubin has noticed something about this entire party. The GOP, an unending display of toxic masculinity, she writes. I want to share some of this with you, our fair audience. You can be a part of this big show, 844-967-2789. Last time I'm bringing it up for a while. And their head-spinning transition from apologist for Russian President Vladimir Putin to proponents of World War III. Republicans revealed not only their utter lack of principle, but also their obsession with toxic masculinity. Winston Churchill's favorite saying, "The hunt is always either at your throat or at your feet," neatly sums up the Republicans' abrupt shift. both expressions of wish fulfillment. Admiring Russian ruthlessness and going to war are features of a party in constant need of masculine affirmation. They may have a problem. Small hands and all that kind of stuff. So Putin has become an utterly reviled character, even in GOP circles, she questions. Donald Trump and his followers have simply switched to a more politically acceptable side from which to assert their masculine bona fides. The Post reports that at a recent GOP gathering, and this is the one over the weekend, Trump mused that the U.S. should label its F-22 planes with the Chinese flag and bomb the beep out of Russia. And then we say, China did it. We didn't do it. China did it. And then we start fighting. They start fighting with each other and we sit back and watch. As Jennifer Rubin writes, aside from its juvenile inanity and lame defense, he was only joking. These over-the-top military fantasies are not unique to Trump. Senator Lindsey Graham, always eager to find a tough guy to attach himself to, first John McCain, then Trump, announced Putin should be assassinated. Didn't get to that one last week. What do you think of that policy? We should just, you know, take out Putin. Other elected Republicans trying to claim they were tougher than President Biden advocated a no-fly zone, which could escalate the chances of a direct conflict between the United States and Russia, like little boys playing at war. These Republicans don't bother to think through the real-world consequences. War with an unhinged dictator with nuclear weapons. You think they thought through that? You think they think they're playing, you know, four-level chess? I guess it's three-level chess. They're not playing that. This is not a new phenomenon, Jennifer Rubin writes. As the saying went during Trump's administration, cruelty, or the raw assertion of power over the powerless, was the point. It still is. Whether they are separating children from their parents, spying on and infringing on women who do not want to be compelled to complete their pregnancy, or threatening to take away trans children from their parents, whose parents seek appropriate medical care, manliness manifesting as bullying has been Republicans' defining feature of late, and they're using the full force of the state to impose their will, all to enforce the frantic assertion, as Senator Rick Scott laid out in a ludicrous 11-point platform, that men are men and women are men. And maybe the sheep are worried? I'm not sure. Does anyone remember a national party running on such a naked appeal to masculine insecurity? And Trump, the MAGA crowd, found its ideal caricature of toxic masculinity, excusing war crimes, egging on police to injure suspects, defending white vigilantes, and standing by men accused of abuse. Trump gave the MAGA crowd the vicarious thrill of being tough guys without having to leave their living room couches. Then there was his delight in watching thugs attack the Capitol and threaten the lives of lawmakers and his own vice president on January 6, 2021. These were the men he loved. It's not surprising that Trump wannabes such as Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, would sell a mug depicting his fist bump on the January 6 mob. His speech decrying that traditional masculine virtues are under attack illustrated precisely how masculine insecurity masquerades as manliness. Declaring that the left has been systematically destroying masculinity and Republicans will stage a revival of strong and healthy manhood in America might sound comical, if not for the admission that their male audience is made up of a bunch of wimps. But in today's GOP, this is red meat for the MAGA crowd. For Trump, a man who escaped military service for bone spurs, palling around with thugs, including Putin, allowed him to acquire a sense of toughness by association. Toughness by association, my ass. His and other Republicans' reverence for authoritarians. Think the Saudis, Kim Jong-un, Erdogan. And for the Russian army, exposes their cartoon-like conception of manliness. It's no mere coincidence that one of the factors that closely correlates with the support of the MAGA quote, cult hero is belief in traditional gender roles. You know, men are men, women are men, sheep are worried. The Public Religion Research Institute's 2020 value survey found majorities of Republicans agree with both the statement that society punishes men for just acting like men. 60% of Republicans agree. I've never been punished for just being a man. Just me, maybe I've missed that, and that society has become too soft and feminine. And 63% of Republicans agree. The press, historians, and political observers have rightly focused on the MAGA crowd's fixation with establishing America as a white Christian nation. We should not forget that parts of the formula involve a grotesque version of masculinity, one that preys on those perceived as vulnerable at home and sends the United States careening from one dangerous and extreme position to another. So writes Jennifer Rubin, the toxic masculinity of the Republicans. And talking about toxically Republican, it's my old pal Gary from Sussex. How you been, Gary?
Good. I haven't been listening. I didn't realize that you're back on the air in the Milwaukee area.
We are, Gary. How'd you find us, man?
I just turned on 540, was praying, and God answered my prayers.
Boom, there we were. Gary, it was God or some other nether region. But how you been, yeah. Gary? Where are your political thoughts these days? You are a little conservative, and we've had fish. We've broken bread, Gary. You bought the fish. And I've seen you do your work. You're a HVAC guy, and you used to call the show quite a bit, but it's been years, Gary. So why today, man? What do you got for us?
Well, I believe it or not, I listened to Biden last week when he did his State of the Union. I thought it was a very good speech. I was a little bit thinking that some of the progressive liberals were going to start screaming and hollering because he's talking about we got to control the border in Mexico and things.
No, that was just Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene. They were the only ones that disrespectful of the president.
Well, he mentioned about closing the borders. We got to control who comes in. And then he also said that we're not going to defund the police.
Oh, no, Gary. What happened to Gary? Gary, we didn't cut your phone call, man. If Gary calls back, we'll let him back in one more time, although that's not usually the way we play it around here. 844-967-2789. Tony from Portland. Tony, it's been a while since I spoke with you either, buddy. How you doing, man?
Yeah, it hasn't been years. But
no, not years, Tony, but it's been a while.
Yeah. No, I when I heard Gary, I said, no way, not that guy again. I was just waiting, you know, for him, because he started off really good, and I was just waiting for something to happen. He was going to say something and go CJ on us, or, you know. But the reason I called up is I'm sick of the sport of politics. When Steve Kornacki is just sitting at his whiteboard and they're calling it a pregame, I think that's really the worst thing that's happened in the politics right now, is it's treated as a sport and the media treats it as a sport.
Are you talking about the horse race aspect of the elections? I mean, I haven't seen Kornacki. We haven't had a lot of elections. I guess Texas had its nominating primaries last week. But, I'm okay with – go ahead. You go.
I just saw an advertisement on MSNBC. I don't watch cable news that much because it drives me crazy. It gets me angry. But they had Kornacki standing there, and they're calling it pregame. Literally pregame, as if, you know, child tax cuts is a sport and it's fun. And let's talk about, you know, let's trade child tax cuts for, no fly zone. It's just, I don't know what they're doing now, but it's TMZ with lipstick and it's pathetic.
Tony, do okay here for you? I know listen, you but guys. You don't call as much as you
I
used
listen
to.
Well, I know. I just don't have a chance usually. I'm usually in a very loud place. And so, but I text all the time and I listen every day.
I'm going to confess, Tony, I don't read the text messages. Others do, but I do not. Evan does. So keep texting 844-967-2789. But I always prefer when you call, and Gary, you get another crack on the other side.